looked at some of the data and the research around natural disasters, around pandemics and international crises. And we know that anytime there's a crisis like this, there's increased emotional distress. So people are experiencing anxiety or depression or fear in ways that they hadn't previously. And for many people, this new experience can be really overwhelming. And for many people, they can start to feel a sense of hopelessness. And often increased substance use or increased mental health conditions can lead to thoughts of suicide or self-harm. And we know that. We also know that economic downturns cause the same types of emotional distress and reactions from people. So knowing all of that, we know that there are conditions that are ripe for people to be thinking about suicide or attempting suicide.
Individuals are out there feeling very isolated, very separated from their families. In fact, one of the protective factors against suicide is social connectedness. And there is an extreme disconnect going on right now in our society. So one of our key protective factors is being removed. So yes, I believe that COVID-19 can have a very extreme deleterious effect on individuals' ability to survive.
Experiencing a lot of fear and anxiety, it's difficult to have a sense of the future and planning and hope for the future. And these are things that are wearing on all of us. We're starting to feel it physically and in our mental health. We know that there's increased substance use. We are seeing signs of that in our emergency departments. We're seeing increased alcohol sales. And we know that that's something that can be unhealthy or dangerous or even deadly for people. And so we're working to create education, information, and make sure there's resources in the community for people to get care when they need care. But we're also very concerned about emotional health for everybody, but also people on the front lines. So healthcare workers, law enforcement, EMS, teachers, our National Guard, people who are all day, every day on the front lines dealing with the illness and then also dealing with the personal stress. This is something that we are, public health professionals, I'd add them in there too, behavioral health workforce, people in mental health and addiction counseling. They're under a tremendous stress with their own experience and with how they're helping others. And so we know that there's potential for suicide rates to be higher among them, and we have specific work to do there as well.
It is really important for adults to be aware of the warning signs for suicide. We know that suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people. And just as many adults are trained in CPR, we want all adults to know what to look for and how to respond when it comes to suicide warning signs. Some of the most important warning signs to identify are when you have a young person talking or posting online about suicide or wanting to die, feeling hopeless or like a burden to others, or expressing unbearable emotional pain. When we see a young person looking for ways to kill themselves or researching methods to end their life, that's a really important warning sign and a signal to us to intervene. Really, any time that a young person is saying goodbyes in a final way, I know that's a little subjective, but when sort of in a way that they're making peace, that would be a time to intervene as well. When they're giving away prized possessions, and then when they're isolating or again struggling and showing us behavioral signs that things are too difficult and that they don't matter anymore. The other thing that we sometimes pay attention to is when after a period of significant depression or isolation, a young person becomes very cheerful or at least at peace. And that could mean that they have come to terms with wanting to end their life. So we also would want to check in to those things. It's important to note that because there is a warning sign, it does not mean definitively that a young person is considering ending their life.
So just talking about it openly, asking the kids what they think about things, asking if they know the strategies for keeping themselves healthy and doing their part to keep others healthy. So social distancing, mask wearing, hand washing, all of those things, empowering them to learn that and then to carry that out has been a really important part of it. Making sure they have opportunities to connect with friends too. as important as I'm sure my husband and I are in their world, we're nowhere near as important as their friend group, right? And so, and their cousins and family members and their grandparents.
Young kids show different behaviors and different warning signs to different people, whether it be friends or parents, teachers or adults. So we really take the approach that if you are identifying a warning sign, you are the one that needs to acknowledge that you're seeing it to that person directly, that you care about them, and that you want to get them help when they're struggling.
Governor DeWine has really made it a priority that all Ohioans get access to quality care when they need it and where they are. And that has given us a lot of opportunity to create a full continuum of care. We've put in place a COVID care line. So it's a hotline that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for Ohioans to call and talk about emotional distress. And while we started it because of COVID, it's continuing on just as the Ohio care line, so that people can call and talk to a trained professional and get access to information, referral to services, and if they're in crisis, get access to crisis services as well.
The Minority Health Strike Force, which was created by Governor DeWine, was developed to address specifically COVID-19 and the disparities in those with COVID-19 tested positive for COVID-19, those who were hospitalized, and those who died. And there were disparities amongst racial and ethnic populations, most striking with African Americans. And what we really wanted to do is find out why and what we could do to address these disparities. But then the goal was broader than just COVID-19. The governor really wanted us to take a look at why there's disparities 3, 4, 10 times greater than Caucasian, white Americans, Ohioans, with many diseases and illnesses. And we've just talked about the disparities amongst young people in attempting a suicide. And we're trying to find out why.
It's really important for all of us to deal with life on life's terms. So not creating an optimistic picture that is unrealistic and not being doom and gloom in a way that is unhelpful to your family as well. So just accepting the facts, seeking out the facts, dealing in truth, and doing that in a developmentally appropriate way, right? So I've got two teenagers, one that's just in her 20s, and they're able to process information. We can watch news together. We can read articles and discuss them. But when they were 5 or 6, they couldn't do that. And so really know that they're looking to us for cues on how to manage their physical actions, but also their emotions, and modeling that good behavior, but also giving them truthful information that's just enough for their age that they can process is really important. We have the Strive for 5 campaign, which encourages every Ohioan to reach out to 5 people a day. If it's the same 5 people and you can sustain that for 30 days, that's great because it helps you and it helps them. But just any 5 people, whether it's a text or a phone call or a video chat, letter writing, baking cookies, sharing them with neighbors, just doing something to stay connected to other people that's not focused on the pandemic is really helpful. And we know that it's a real thing, but we also know that human connection is a really important part of wellness. And so really finding safe ways to do that and creating those opportunities and talking about it honestly. You know, you can get together with your friends, but you need to do it outside. You can't go in anybody's house. And so do that. Wear a mask if you can't be 6 feet apart. And that's a pretty minute consideration when you think of all the things that Ohioans have lost. But there was real grief there. Grief can be big things, like the loss of a job or the loss of health or the loss of a loved one. Grief can also be small things, like the loss of your senior softball season. They all still are painful. They all need to be acknowledged, talked about, honored, and then moved through.